I've been following over the last few years the rift that's developing in the Anglican Church over the ordination of gay bishops and whether a spiritual leader, in this case a priest, can actually function properly if he's a homosexual. And by that we mean a practicing homosexual. The greater issue of homosexuality is also one that has gripped society, particularly in the last few decades, but it was already current during Srila Prabhupada's time, and Srila Prabhupada therefore made many comments on that. Interestingly enough, Krishna consciousness movement is also have proponents of homosexuality in general, and I'm sure if Kali Yuga has its way, it won't be too long before the issue comes up of whether the leaders of our society, temple presidents, and GBC members could also be homosexuals. Anyway, let me make a few comments and read a few quotes from Srila Prabhupada. And because this topic is really a lengthy one, a detailed one, I'm just going to raise some points and give my Krishna conscious understanding of the answers to those points. If you find that these are out of sequence, that's just because I'm always limited as to how much time and energy I can put into these podcasts on a daily basis. But anyhow, here it goes, and I'm sure that there'll be very strong feelings about some of my statements, both in favor and against them. What is homosexuality? I would say there are two definitions. One is that when a member of one sex engages in sexual activity with another person of the same sex. And another definition is that even if one doesn't engage in gross sexual activity, but one has a affiliation or, excuse me, an attachment for another member of the same sex, which is of a conjugal nature. In other words, one man sees another man as a woman, or vice versa, and the same for can happen with ladies who are therefore called homosexuals or lesbians. I've heard some Krishna conscious condemnation of gross sexual activity and the suggestion that if people are able to be celibate, then they can live together as friends. I would suggest that this is incorrect because the mentality or the mood, the rasa, the inclination within the heart between those two persons living together is not the rasa of a friend, but it is the rasa of a lover and a beloved. And therefore it's a subtle form of sex life, and even though it may not manifest in its gross forms, in the mind it will continue to be an obstruction for advancement in Krishna consciousness. How do we relate to people who are homosexuals, whether they're actively practicing or whether they're restraining themselves from sexual activity? Of course, everyone should practice Krishna consciousness, and everyone has a right to practice Krishna consciousness, to chant Hare Krishna, to engage in devotional service. Thus, we'll never say that Krishna consciousness is not for homosexuals. In the same way that we'll never say that someone who's eating meat can't chant Hare Krishna. We will say that we disagree with meat eating, and it doesn't matter whether meat eating is legal all over the world. From our point of view, it's the wrong thing to do. Similarly, whether different religious organizations, what to speak of, governments legalize and accept homosexuality, we, as a Krishna consciousness movement, cannot do so. Because, like meat eating, we consider that it is adharmic, it is an irreligious activity. And we should always stand by that. But we will not condemn people on the basis of that. We will simply state our beliefs, and particularly whether meat eaters or homosexuals are practicing Krishna consciousness, that we know that by the purification of the heart, they will also in time get the spiritual strength to give up those lower activities. I think most devotees are aware of the Srimad Bhagavatam statement wherein the demons chased after Lord Brahma in order to have sex. And Prabhupada in the purport there states that it appears from this that this is the beginning of or the creation of homosexuality, and that it's been existent for a long time, and that it's the practice of demons. And here's a quote from a letter from Srila Prabhupada in 1975, where he's writing to a devotee. I'm very sorry that you have taken to homosex. It will not help you advance in your attempts for spiritual life. In fact, it will only hamper your advancement. I do not know why you have taken to such abominable activities. What can I say? Anyway, try to render whatever service you can to Krishna. Even though you are in a very degraded condition, Krishna, being pleased with your service attitude, can pick you up from your fallen state. You should stop this homosex immediately. It is illicit sex. Otherwise, your chances of advancing in spiritual life are nil. Show Krishna conscious you are serious if you are. So Srila Prabhupada's statement is very clear. Homosexuality is not condoned by His divine grace. It's not something that Krishna will accept. It's illicit sex, and it will hamper someone's advancement in spiritual life. All right, someone may say the argument, fine, we agree that someone should be promiscuous, but why not have homosexuals marry and have sex within marriage? And the answer to that is that marriage is meant for bringing children into this world and for raising them up in a balanced family atmosphere, how to become Krishna conscious. Homosexuals cannot bring children into this world, and neither can they give them a balanced upbringing. They may think that they're giving them love, because homosexuals do adopt children, but that in itself is already artificial. Marriage is for conceiving Krishna conscious children. Therefore, homosexuals shouldn't be able to get married. Furthermore, children are meant to have a father and a mother who look like a father and a mother, and who between the two of them give a balanced emotional, physical upbringing with a certain type of association that's unique to both. So devotees know what type of friendship and love they got from their father, what type of friendship and love what they got from their mother. Once again, homosexuals cannot do this. Therefore, the argument that let homosexuals marry, and that way it's not illicit sex because it's sex within marriage, is also null and void. And then I already began the podcast by commenting on the idea that homosexuals can remain celibate all their lives and live together as friends. However, that in itself is a contradiction, because the basic nature of the rasa is not as friendship, it's not sakya ras, but it's a type of madhurya ras. And so the underlying psychological impetus for the relationship is not something that will be easily given up, because it's establishing a false type of dependency between amorous members of the same sex. In my encounters with devotees who have this type of orientation, my recommendation to them has been to live singly as homosexual celibates. Someone may argue, and I will agree, that that's a really difficult thing to ask, that a person should live alone for the rest of their life. However, I believe that it's not as difficult to think to ask them as to ask them to live as celibates with someone else who has the same illicit amorous relationship, because ultimately it's not just the physical, the sexual aspect of homosexuality that's wrong, but it's the consciousness and the attitude behind it. Therefore, I believe that we're asking even more from people when we tell them, no, that's all right, you just stay celibate and you can live together. So I would disagree with that argument as well. And in 75, Srila Prabhupada had already commented on this idea of marriage between men and men. Our difficulty, Srila Prabhupada was saying, the so-called swamis, priests, popes, they're also in the pravritti marg. All these priests, and they have illicit sex, pravritti marg. So they are passing, quote, yes, you can have homosex with man. They are getting man-to-man marriage, you know. They are performing the marriage ceremony between man to man in the open church. What class of men are they? And they are priests? Just see, such degraded persons. So Srila Prabhupada was very clear about his stance. Go on folio and search through homosexuality, and you'll get many references from Srila Prabhupada, and they're all consistent. Srila Prabhupada is condemning the practice of homosexuality. Of course, the natural argument that often comes up is that this is a natural tendency in people. It's a biological tendency. It's something that cannot be denied. You may use terminology to say that it's natural, but then of course so is the sex urge between man and woman natural, but our business in Krishna consciousness is also to regulate that and ultimately to stop it. That's also considered to be denial by people in the outside world, and even in our Krishna consciousness movement. There have been many attempts to define illicit sex as just sex outside of marriage. Sex inside of marriage, even if it's unregulated, should fall within the category of illicit sex. But that isn't what Srila Prabhupada taught us. In fact, even other Vaishnava organizations sometimes take up this argument that they think Srila Prabhupada's definition of illicit sex was excessive. So, but how do people become homosexuals? Srimad Bhagavatam gives the general overall vision. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrita. People in Kali Yuga are disturbed. They're confused. They're confused about their sexual orientation, and that's only one among so many other things. Confused about the goal of life, confused about what religion is, confused about what social structure is suitable for mankind, confused about what they should eat and what they should not eat. That is the symptom of Kali Yuga, confusion. Someone may have this confusion, something that's a carryover from their previous life or previous activities. In that case, one could envisage that, for instance, in the case of a homosexual man, that in his who has the inclination to be a woman, in his previous lifetime he had the desire to be a woman, but only deserved to be a man. Because ultimately karma means that both what you deserve and what you desire need to be in sync, and when those two aren't, then something will be amiss. and the influence of Kali Yuga is so strong that even if it's not a carryover from last life, and that carryover from life may be stated to be that it's something which in the hormones, it's a hormone imbalance, it may be something that's genetical, that's fine, but all of that is a byproduct of karma. And when it just manifests in this life at a certain stage, people discover their homosexuality, then yes, the influence of Kali Yuga is so very powerful that people will be attracted to not only having sex with one of the same sex, one of an opposite sex, but that they do it with animals, they do it in so many ways. Manda sumanda mateo. The strong bodily conception of life is the byproduct of this age. It's what materialism, Darwinian evolution, Big Bang creationalism, and the educational system, the consumer society in which we live, just simply enforces and reinforces, and it will increase more and more. And of course, there are some persons who are called transsexuals who even have surgery or hormone treatment in order to actually acquire the body of, say, for instance, a man who wants to be a woman and actually have the sexual organs of a woman. So obviously this type of orientation, sexual activity, marriage, and even trying to adopt children in a homosexual marriage falls completely outside of the Varnashram social system, which is the social system meant for devotees who are serious about practicing Krishna consciousness. And then what to speak of priests. When priests are already becoming homosexuals, and when a whole church, worldwide church, divides between those who are pro-gay bishops and against gay bishops, it really means that Kali is striking home. We should ensure that this never happens to the Krishna consciousness movement, although no doubt that it will be attacked by this proposition, as the discussion is already current in many circles of the Vaishnava society. Here is another conversation by Srila Prabhupada. Now the priestly order supporting homosex. I was surprised. They are going to pass a resolution for getting married between man to man. The human society has come down to such a degraded position. It is astonishing. When I heard that there is a big conference for passing this resolution in India still, if there someone hears about homosex is there, but no one will support it publicly. People are going down, and this is the subject matter for priestly order. It may be subject matter for the legislator. Priestly order, they are discussing for 1 week. Just imagine, palena parichyati. One has to study by the result. Not that superficially you show that we are very much advanced. Palena, what is the result? Palena parichyati. Your, that is English word also, and justifies the mean. The end is this. We are going to support homosex getting married. There are many cases the priestly order has actually got married. I read it in that paper. Watch, what is called the devotee watchtower. They have complained. So we have nothing to them. The world is degrading to the lowest status, even less than animal. The animal also do not support homosex. They have never sex life between male to male. They are less than animal. People are becoming less than animal. This is all due to godlessness. Godless civilization cannot have any good qualities. They simply go to the untruth by mental speculation. As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot to this subject, but this is as much as I'll comment on today, and Hare Krishna.